And especially nowadays when we have ijtimaas and we have with the 5 days of Hajj. But before we do that, one or two points which are of significance should be remembered. One is the Hajr-e Aswad. That the Hajr-e Aswad or the black stone, we are ordered to kiss the stone if possible, if not to touch it. Now people think that this is some sort of idol worship, that you are kissing the stone, touching it. Or even the tawaf of the holy Kaaba, they say it is a form of idol worship, that you are going round and round the Kaaba Sharif. Now there is a big difference between idol worship and ibadah. In idol worship, you believe that it is the idol which has some sort of power to grant you your wishes. It is a form of a deity. Whereas the Kaaba Sharif, it is not the walls of the Kaaba Sharif that is the Kaaba. It is that ground that is there, that earth. So even if someday Allah Ta'ala forbid comes that the walls are destroyed, the walls fall down, then too we are still instructed to face the Kaaba and make the namaz. So which Kaaba Sharif are we facing then, when there is no walls there? So if we are worshipping the Kaaba Sharif, the walls, and now there is no walls, then why are we facing in that direction and making namaz? And then again, facing in a certain direction does not mean that you are worshipping that particular thing. Also, it is permissible to read namaz inside the Kaaba Sharif. If somebody gets an opportunity to go inside the Kaaba Sharif to read Salat, it's permissible. And not only that, the Hatim, that section which is the Hatim, you can go inside there and make namaz. And that is a portion of the Kaaba Sharif. In the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when they were building the Kaaba Sharif, although they were disbelievers, but they said that we will build the Kaaba Sharif with only halal money, whatever they termed as halal. That even they knew that the house of Allah should be built with only halal. So that portion was left out. They didn't have sufficient funds to enclose that portion. Afterwards it was enclosed, then again it was broken down, and finally it is the blessing of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala that that portion remained open, because Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam told Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha that if you want to read namaz inside the Kaaba Sharif, your reading namaz in the Hatim is like reading it inside the Kaaba Sharif. So what an opportunity for us to go inside there and read Salat. So imagine standing inside the Kaaba. We haven't heard of any person standing on the head of that idol and making his prayer. So if we were idol worshipping, then how can we go inside? In other, or even on top of the roof of the Kaaba Sharif. It is be'adbi, we'll say khilaf-e adab. But if somebody does it, then his namaz is valid. Now imagine standing on top of an idol. So it's not idol worship, it's an order of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala has placed this house there so that the Muslims of the world may face in that direction, and his tajalli is cast there. His mercy is there. 24 hours of the day, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's mercy, Allah Ta'ala's rahmat descends there. It has got a special connection with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. But we don't worship it. So in the same way, this Hajr-e Aswad, it is reported in the hadith that they were, it was a milk-white stone when it came down from the heavens. But the sins of the people touching it turned it to pitch black. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is reported to have said that if it had not been for the idol worshippers touching this Hajr-e Aswad and the sinful one, then people who were affected with leprosy, with sicknesses, diseases, the moment they would have touched it, they would have been cured from the sickness. It was such a stone. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam kissed the stone, so we are following Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam's example. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, when he kissed the stone, he said, Ya ayyuhal hajar, innaka la tanfa'u wa la tadar. O stone, you can't benefit me and you can't cause me any harm. In other words, he cleared that doubt that comes in people's mind that we are worshipping. He says, you can't cause me any benefit and any harm. But it is reported that on the day of Qiyamah, Allah ta'ala will give it a tongue and two eyes, and it is going to bear testimony, give evidence that so and so came and touched me. With faith. So this testimony that this stone will give on the day of Qiyamah We must not doubt it, because what is the tongue? It's a piece of flesh. Allah Ta'ala gives it the power of speech, it speaks. If Allah Ta'ala takes away the power of speech, the tongue cannot speak. So on the day of Qiyamah, Allah Ta'ala will give this stone that power of speech and it will bear testimony. But what is important, and the point that I want to get across to you very strongly, is this: those who are going for Hajj must remember that the Hajre Aswad is a touchstone. The jewelers have a touchstone where they check whether this is 100% gold or it's not. So this is a touchstone, and the ulama have stated, great awliya have stated, that when a person touches that stone, after that when he returns, he cannot hide his weaknesses too long. If he has made sincere tawbah there, he has repented, he has asked Allah for forgiveness for his sins, and he has pledged and promised that he is not going to return to those sins, then inshallah upon his return he will be a completely changed person. But when he is touching that stone, kissing that stone, and at that time he has no intention of changing, or his tawbah and repentance is not sincere, or he hasn't gone there with halal monies and funds, then upon his return he will not be able to hide his inner self too long. It will be revealed very quickly. Lots of people, before they went for Hajj, we didn't know their weaknesses. After they returned from Hajj, within a short time people start saying, this person is a gambler, this person is a drunkard, this person takes interest and gives interest. What happened? It was concealed, but the Hajre Aswad exposed it. So it is not a joke fighting by the Hajre Aswad for an opportunity to kiss it. It is not a plaything. At that time there must be fear in our heart. There must be sincere repentance. We must be expressing remorse and regret over the sins that we have committed in our lives. And we must be making a firm pledge to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala that we are not going to return to those sins. After that, accidentally the person commits a sin, he makes tawbah again. But at that time we must say, oh Allah, you have concealed my weaknesses up till now. Do not expose it. Conceal it at all times. Because if you expose it, there's nobody that can conceal it. So it is a thing that you must be careful when you are touching the Hajre Aswad, or even when you are facing your palm towards it. At that time there must be that regret, the remorse. As they say in Urdu, nadamat ki aansu hone chahiye. So this is the important thing when you are kissing the Hajre Aswad. Then again, the Rukne Yamani we missed out is one of the stones on the opposite corner. Where Hajre Aswad is, on the opposite corner is Rukne Yamani. Rukne Yamani is not to be kissed. If you get the opportunity, you pass your both hands over it. If you don't get that opportunity, you just pass your right hand over it. And if you don't get that opportunity, you just walk past. There's no facing the palms and kissing of the palms by Rukne Yamani. And lots of people stop there and they take salute, as if that is something that you have to stop and take salute, because they cannot reach it. So that is not permissible, it should not be done. If you feel that there is a big crowd, then don't go to the Rukne Yamani, you just carry on walking. These two things we missed out, and a third thing was that when you have finished the Safa Marwa, then another two, and you have shaved off your hair, then you make two rakats of Nafil Namaz anywhere around there, that is also Nafil. Now that is as far as the Umrah was concerned. During the days after that, you stay in Makkah Sharif and you make Tawbah, Istighfar, make as much Tawaf as possible. Try and cover up all your Qaza Namazes which you have missed in your lives. What else there is to do there? Go early to the Haram Sharif and read plenty of Qazas. Cover up all the Qazas that you have missed. And every available opportunity, make Tawaf of the Kaaba Sharif, because that is one thing you won't get anywhere in the world. Tawaf of the Kaaba Sharif is only there. We are not allowed to search, go around any other house or grave or anything else. It is only the Kaaba Sharif that we have been ordered by Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala to make Tawaf of. So as much as possible, make Tawaf. And abstain from sins, that is the most important thing. If we do not abstain from sins there, then it's going to be extremely difficult to abstain from it here. So in Makkah Sharif, Madinah Sharif, this is what we have to be very careful about, that we should not do anything that displeases Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Then on the 8th of Zilhijjah now, but just one more thing which my friend Maulana Shabir Asmal Sahib reminded me, and it is quite an important point. that lots of people go into the haram with plenty of money. So you should not go with all your cash into the Haram Sharif. Because just as angels come there, lots of devils come there. It is a place of angels and it is a place of devils. Shaitan makes his maximum effort around the Kaaba Sharif to mislead and misdirect people. And Allah Ta'ala hasn't mentioned anywhere in the Quran Sharif, and neither has Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned anywhere in the Hadith Sharif, that there will be no robbery, there will be no stealing taking place in Makkah and Madinah Sharif. So there are gangs which come there and operate. They come with no other niyat except to steal. And they rip the pockets of the people in such a clean way that the person doesn't even realize that his whole pocket is cut. So lots of people have lost a lot of cash in the process. So when you go to the Haram Sharif, there we go from South Africa, people come from other parts of the world, they think that everybody here is an angel. So we go there and we attach ourselves to the Multazam, we go to the Maqame Ibrahim, wherever we are, we are lost, we are in a different world. And they know that at that time when your mind is somewhere else, so they operate on your pocket. So take just sufficient cash that is required for going to the bazaar to buy a few things after the tawaf, or some money for the haircut. Just sufficient cash. When you go Mina Arafat also, just carry sufficient cash, balance, put it into the bank there, or leave it with the muallim for safekeeping. But do not carry all the cash like lots of our South Africans do, or carry plenty of cash. They are losing thousands of riyals. So that was one thing that he reminded that I should bring to your attention. So this is something that you must be careful about. Now we are talking about the 5 days of Hajj. The 5 days of Hajj will commence on the 8th of Dhul-Hijjah. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the Sahabas, they put on their ihram again, those who are making tamattu, on the 8th of Dhul-Hijjah. On the 8th of Dhul-Hijjah, you will repeat the same process for ihram. That if it is possible, you take ghusl and bath. If it is not possible, then it's not farz. But if possible, you have a nice bath. And after you have, of course, obtained complete body purification, and for the satisfaction of one's nafs, now this is an example that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, that if a person has his wife with, then he should make sure that afterwards when he's in the 5 days, he doesn't get evil thoughts worrying him. So once the person has obtained purification, he has relieved himself of a necessity of life, and he has undertaken all the other preparation for the 5 days, now he must put on this ihram of Hajj. Now this time he'll make niyat of Hajj. Ya Allah, I'm making Hajj, make it easy for me and accept it for me. Simple. He will put on the sheets of ihram, make 2 rakats of namaz with his hat on. After the namaz, he will take his hat off and thereafter make the niyat of Hajj and read Labbaik 3 times. He is in ihram again. Now this is his Hajj ihram. It is permissible to put this Hajj ihram in Makkah Sharif. It is permissible to go out and put it from Tan'im. Anyway, in the haram, the person puts on the ihram. You can put it on in your hotel room and make your niyat from there. You can go to the Haram Sharif, make tawaf, and after that put on your ihram. There's no hard and fast rule that you must go to the Haram Sharif, make a tawaf, and then put on your ihram. Some people make things difficult for others. They tell them, no, you must put your ihram in the haram. So you must go and make one tawaf and then make your niyat of ihram for Hajj. This is not necessary. You can just put on your 2 sheets, make your namaz in your room, and make your niyat of ihram, of Hajj, and that is sufficient. But if somebody goes and makes a tawaf, makes 2 rakat namaz after that, which is a wajib namaz of tawaf, then makes a 2 rakat of nafil namaz, or the sunnat namaz of ihram, and then makes his niyat, we'll say, Alhamdulillah, I'll get more tawaf. But it's not compulsory that he should do a thing like that. Once he has got the ihram of Hajj, now he will be proceeding after sunrise on the 8th of Dhul-Hijjah, after Chash, around Chash time, you proceed to Mina. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and his 124,000 companions that were there in the last pilgrimage, you must just picture what a scene that must have been. each and every Sahabi. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has said, Radiallahu anhum wa radwan. Allah pleased with them, they were pleased with Allah. And who is leading them? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What a scene. The world has never witnessed and will never witness another scene like that. So these Sahaba, they proceeded to Mina. And at Mina, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made Zuhur, Asr, Maghrib, Isha and Fajr Salat. That's all he did at Mina. The rest of the time he was engaged in zikr, tilawat, ibadat, calling people towards deen. But at Mina, he performed Zuhur, Asr, Maghrib, Isha and Fajr Salat. Now the question I want to ask you is that where was more sawab? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and the Sahabas, they went out of Makkah Sharif and they performed five salat in Mina. And at that time Mina was a jungle. All the supermarkets and complexes and nothing was in Mina. It was a barren land. So they came out from Makkah Sharif and went to Mina, whereas the Kaaba Sharif was in Makkah. There was more sawab if they made tawaf here, they made namazes here, 100,000 namaz sawab for each namaz. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam knew better, or do we know better? Now this whole move, that there is no need to sleep in Mina, the 3 days also you can stay in Makkah Sharif and you just go and stone and come away and sleep back in your hotel. So this is going to destroy the spirit of Hajj. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam took the Sahabas, went to Mina and he camped at Mina. Whereas everybody had some accommodation in Makkah Sharif. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam also had accommodation in Makkah Sharif. So he could have gone directly. There was no need to go to Mina and make Zuhur, Asr, Maghrib, Isha Salat and Fajr. Now we see advertisements where they say shuttle service, that they'll give you sitting space in Mina and they will shuttle you between Mina and Makkah Sharif. After the stoning, go back, enjoy the luxury of the five-star hotel or whichever hotel you are staying in, and there's no need to sleep in Mina. And if you want to sleep in Mina, then pay 1,000 rands more. In other words, now they are putting that bait there that if you want to sleep in Mina, then you have to pay 1,000 rands more. And they know the weakness of the Haji. So the Haji will try to save wherever he can. So the Haji will say, why should I pay 1,000 rands more? I'd rather go back to Makkah Sharif and sleep in my own hotel. So brothers, don't get caught in this trap, in this web. It is a shaitani web to deprive us of all the rewards of Hajj. If Mina was full, there was no place at all there, and there were no tents there, there were no halls there, there was nothing there, then too, as a haji, a person who is deeply in love with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, who is going to display his love for Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, he would have said that I will sleep in the open ground. Come rain, come shine, anything. But my Allah must become pleased with me because I want to undertake the Hajj in the sunnat manner, in the way that my beloved Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam undertook it with 124,000 companions. You think all the 124,000 companions, everyone had tents and hotels and rooms there and air conditioning. So this Hajj must be undertaken in that spirit. If difficulties come, then you must accept it and you must express pleasure over it. Your reward will increase with those difficulties. But do not ask for difficulty. That is the important. Do not ask Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala to put you through difficulties and hardships. But if it comes away in the performance of Hajj, then accept it happily, willingly, that Allah Ta'ala has given me the opportunity to undertake this Hajj in this manner, and these difficulties are in the path of Allah, and Allah is rewarding me on every hardship that I go through. So do not ask for it, but if it comes, then accept it. So what is there if 3 nights we have to sleep in those halls with 20 people or 50 people in that hall or 100 people? And especially nowadays when we have ijtimaas and we have so many other gatherings where people sleep like that the whole night in the tent. So what is it difficult to spend 2 or 3 nights there? So do not fall for this type of trap.